So I just want you to know that I do recognize that the Falcons are playing right now in London, and you might have the your phone on in your lap, and if at some point they do score and you go, yeah, then we know it's not the Holy Spirit. All right, so you're busted, and we know, but we don't have to worry about that because they won't score. Anyway, that was rough, wasn't it? I'm a Cowboy fan. What do you expect? That was just a long introduction to that fact. All right. So listen, last week we started talking about Amazing Grace, and what a powerful song and hymn that is. And we sing it many times, and Connie was just playing that. What a beautiful song that reminds us of what God has done for us. And in particular, there's one line in there that talks about, I was lost, but now I am found. I love that. I was lost, but now I am found. How many times have we, if you've grown up in church, how many times have you sang that song and you said that line? But have you stopped to really dive into what that means? I was lost, but now I am found. And so last week we started just a 2-week series. So we're going to wrap it up today. But we talked about last week what it means to be lost. And like anything else, listen, when something is lost, it brings a heartache, it's sad, it makes you angry, you know, all those things come in when something is lost. We've all lost something. We've all been lost in certain situations. Listen, when you're lost, it's not a pretty place to be, and there's no difference spiritually. Listen, when you're lost, you are separated from God, and there's no worse place to be in your life. But today, praise God, we can talk about being found. And we're going to talk about what does it mean to be found. So I don't know if you keep up with these things, but this has happened several times, and I've always kind of been fascinated by this. But an article came out last week that a lady and her husband were out at the Diamond Crater State Park in Arkansas, and they walked into that state park and began walking through the fields, and lo and behold, just sitting right on top of the dirt, didn't have to get a shovel, didn't have to dig anything, just lying on the top of the dirt was a 4.3 carat diamond. Can you imagine? I mean, I'd cash that sucker in, you know what I'm saying? That's huge, that's a big diamond. Can you imagine the excitement and the joy that they experienced with that great find? Can I tell you, it's even greater when people come to know Jesus. We are found. We go from spiritually being dead to alive in Jesus. We were lost, but now we are found. There is nothing more exciting and nothing to be more passionate about than that. Listen, I want to talk just a little bit about what it means to be found. So if you would open up your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 11, and we're going to talk about what it means to be found. Now you, in church, you know, we have a lot of words that we throw out in different things about what this means, but you may understand it as being saved. You may think of it, I like to reference it as being rescued, and all those are the same. Listen, we're rescued from a life of separation from God and death, spiritual death, and we're saved from that. Now, you know, people in the world, they may ask that question, you know, what are we saved from? You know, they don't truly understand. So today we're talking about, what does it mean to be found? What does it mean to be rescued? And I hope that it encourages you and motivates you to recognize the joy of what it means to have a relationship with Jesus and to share that with other people. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 9. If you're able, would you stand as we read God's word this morning? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting verse 9, says this. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Father, thank you for your word. And we thank you for the power that your word has. And we just pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would move mightily in us and in this place, transforming us into who you want us to be. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians, I love the book of 1 Corinthians, as Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. And this is how Paul works. You know, it's interesting because Corinth, I believe Corinth is a very real picture of what we are living in today. Corinth was an incredible city that was at a very important crossroads. So they had a lot of commerce that would come through their city, which also brought with it all kinds of different people from all different walks of life. With that comes all different kinds of worship, all different kinds of sin, everything kind of coming into this powerful, vibrant, in a negative way, sometimes, most of the time, city. And so what better place to put a church? So Paul plants a church there. So listen, the church is planted in Corinth, and this is a church that believers start to come in and be in worship in this church. But like every church that we read about in the New Testament, at some point, they struggle. And in 1 Corinthians, what you read about is you read about division. You know, they're wanting to sue each other. There's sin. They're not just being tempted, but even in the church, people are actually giving in to that, the sins that are around in the culture. And so Paul is writing this letter to encourage them to remember that they are no longer what they used to be, that they are different. And that's what we find in this passage. And this passage is interesting. And I want to point this out before we go into what it means to be found, as this passage details it for us. So I want you to look at this because I think this is what we deal with in our culture today. And this is very important for us to grasp. Notice, and Paul does this in several places, but he begins to speak of several different sins, things that are happening in the culture at the time, probably in the church also to an extent. But this was happening in the church all around them, and this is what they were seeing, and this is what's going on. Listen, he labels all these different sins, and we look at this and automatically we see the sexual immorality that he's talking about, but we also see the thievery and greed and drunkards, all these things that are happening. Now I want you to just hear this first before we talk about what it means to be found, because I think it's so important. Because listen, I grew up in church, and so when I read this, it empowers me and want me to, you know, storm the culture, because we're experiencing these things also in our culture today. But I want you to hear something that's very, very important. This is not just an exhaustive list of all the sin that is happening in this city. This is not all the things that are going wrong in this culture that people are getting into. Listen, this is just a small part of this, and he's explaining these things. And so know that this is bigger than what you would just read in Scripture. But having said that, listen, now, and you may be just like me. You read this, and there's some, when you read sexually immoral, or when you say, nor men who practice homosexuality, or you kind of have a different kind of, than when you read greedy. People are greedy. I mean, let's just be honest. Be transparent. When you read that list, there's some that you're like, oh, and there's some you're like, oh. Listen, that is our culture that we live in today. But can I just tell you, and I believe this is so important of what Paul is trying to get at. Sin is sin. We can look at a list and we can say, whoa, man, they are in it and this is ridiculous. These guys, listen, there's some hope for them, but they're doing this. Listen, sin is sin. So whether they're practicing homosexuality, whether they're diving into drunkenness and greed and pride, whatever it is, listen, sin is being apart from God and being disobedient to God, not having given your life to Jesus. Listen, they're all going to end up separated from God. So sin is sin, and all of it is something that God wants to take care of in our life. And so I don't want you to look here and look at this list, because Paul surely didn't. Now, I get it, consequences, things like that, but Paul doesn't look at this, and as he's writing this, he's not thinking, well, this one's bad or this one's bad. What he wants us to understand as he is reading this, because listen, here's what he says in verse 11, and such were some of you. Here's what I believe. I believe this is what he's trying to say to the church. all that you just read, everything that I just said, whatever you label it as and think of it as the worst sin or not, whatever you want to do, the reality is it's all sin. But here's the truth. No one, no matter what they're in, no matter what they have done, no matter what they're doing today, no one is too far from God. Listen, this is the message. So these are the sins that are rampant in this culture today, rampant in our church. But listen, everybody, all of you are sinners. You were those that were practicing these things. And look what God did in your life. This should motivate you. It motivates me that nobody's too far gone for Jesus. No matter what's going on in their life, no matter what the culture is labeled as accepted or not, listen, the reality is sin, but nobody's too far from God to get saved. And so just like Paul telling the Christians, listen, we should be motivated by remembering that we too have experienced these things in our lives and we are different and we have been rescued and all people can be rescued through Jesus Christ. So then he comes down to, as he begins talking, he really lays out the truth of what it means to be rescued. What does it mean to be found? And what does it look like for those believers that are reading this? What makes their life different now than it was before? So I want to look at three things. You should have your notes there in front of you. If not, you can write this down. But here's what it says. One is this. It says this, "And such were some of you," and he says this, "but you were washed." You were washed. What makes us different, the believers different than all those that are steeped in this sin and in these lifestyles? What makes it different? One is this. It says, "but you were washed." Listen, to be found means to be cleansed. To be found means to be cleansed. What does that mean? Well, it means washed is what we read in here. But listen, this means simply put that we are forgiven. We are forgiven. Here's a great picture. We talk about baptism, how important baptism is, and that's why we continue to encourage people to take that step forward in baptism. It's a beautiful picture of what Jesus does in our life when we accept Him into our life. It's this idea of coming up out of the water and being cleansed. It's the idea of new creation in Christ. But listen, that is the picture of forgiveness, that we are new in Jesus. We've been forgiven of our sin. Now, I want you to know, when Paul writes these things, he says this, you were washed. He says, you were washed. Listen, that is something that has happened. You were washed. It is done. When you accept Jesus Christ in your life, and you come before Him and ask for that forgiveness, you are cleansed. Your heart has been washed clean. What a wonderful gift that we have in Jesus. No longer do we have to dwell in the guilt and the shame of sin in our life, to hold on to the sin in our life and the bondage that comes with it, that shame that comes with it. And we lay it at the cross and ask Him to forgive us. Listen, we are forgiven. It is done. But there's a picture, too, of this, as He says, you were washed and cleansed. The truth is, we have this understanding that for the believer, that we are washed, it is done, but God forgives today. That we are continually in His presence as we come before Him and lay it down at His feet. He forgives us. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and we can lay it at His feet. Can I encourage you today that rejoice in the truth of knowing that your sins are forgiven? As a believer, you have been found. You are clean. But may I encourage you also that every once in a while we make mistakes. We all do. Allow the Lord to continue to clean your heart. Lay it out at His feet. Come before Him humbly and let Him work in your life. Can I say, this is the reality of a lot of things. It really is. This is the reality of a lot of things, and that really, that first step is just admitting. And can I tell you that for all of us, it is hard to admit that we're sinners. It is. Or that we've sinned.
That is so hard. But listen, the Bible tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what Romans 3:23 says. So we've all done it. Listen, we just have to come to the point where we recognize that. And then we come before God and say, God, forgive me. Listen, He is faithful. And the beauty of being a believer is that we have been washed. The other thing that we find, he says, you've been washed, but he goes on and he says this. He says, you were sanctified, is what it says. You were sanctified. What does that mean? Well, what Paul is saying in this instance is this. You've been, to be found means to be set apart. So what he's saying is this. You've been washed, but also you've been set apart for His purpose. He has given you a plan and a new identity in Him. You have been set apart. Now I understand, listen, that word sanctification is a big churchy word, but what that means is, it can mean this also. There is a transformation that takes place throughout your life. It is. And we begin being molded into the image of Jesus throughout our life. That is what sanctification means, to be made holy. But can I just tell you, when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, at that moment, it is also a done deal to be set apart for Jesus forever. Not only is He going to transform you over time, this process of being more like Him, but at the beginning, when you ask Him into your life, you are set apart for His glory and for His purpose. You are different. When you are found, you are different in Jesus Christ. What an amazing gift that we have. I don't know if you guys remember at the beginning of this COVID pandemic, when the hospital beds started getting full and people were just coming in and all the beds and the ICUs were getting full. Do you remember what all these other companies started doing, like Ford and different places? They started to kind of scrap what they were originally doing, and they started making respirators. You remember that? You know, that's not the first time this kind of thing has happened. You think back like in World War II, when we went to war. What happened to a lot of the industry? They stopped what they were doing, and they had a new purpose. Can I just tell you, as a Christian, as a believer, when you ask Jesus in your life, you have been set apart. You have a new purpose. That's what it means to be found. You have a new purpose in Him. But we also find this. He says, you were sanctified, but also you were justified. That's what he says there in verse 11. You were justified. What does that mean? Listen, to be found means to be made right. I love this. This is a legal term. Think about standing before a judge, knowing what you deserve, but he makes everything right, sets you free. You don't deserve it, and there's nothing that you did to deserve it, but the judge sets you free. Can I just tell you, Jesus, because of who He is and what He has done for you, you have been made right before God. Listen, there's no way that we could ever stand before God on our own merit, but because of Jesus, we have been made right before Him. You know what that means? We can rejoice today. Because even though we're imperfect, we're going to spend eternity with a perfect God. Listen, we have been made right in Jesus. What a great gift that is for us today. Romans 3:22 says this. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Did you get that? For everyone who believes, who trusts in Jesus, they are made right, no matter who they are. So what does it mean to be lost, but now you are found? It means this. It means one time you were separated from God because of the sin that's in your life and the things that are going on in your life. But because of Jesus dying on the cross, because Jesus gave up His life as a sacrifice, when you turn your life to Him and ask for forgiveness, listen, He is faithful and just to forgive you, and He's going to give you life in Him. We are made right with God through Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be found. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Can you, with all honesty, listen, this is not me just
trying to be preachy up here because I don't want to do that. I just want you to do what the Word says. And listen, examine your heart for a moment. Can you declare today that you've been found? If not, then you're still wandering around lost. Listen, that breaks my heart. And it probably breaks your family's heart too. You're wandering around lost, separated from God forever, unless you're willing to hand it over to Him. Are you lost or are you found? Now, if you're here this morning and you say, well, I'm found, I'm a believer, I have Jesus in my life, praise God, but can I just ask you this? If you're found, does it excite you so much that you want to share that with somebody else? Because there are a lot of lost people in this world that are trying to find their way. And we know the way. May we help others come to Jesus. May we share the gospel with them, what Jesus has done for them, that He loves them and desires relationship. May we share with them what it means to be found. There is no greater privilege in life than to be found. And we have the opportunity to share it with the world. And if you are found today, I just want to encourage you, be grateful. Be grateful and be gracious. Because listen, you once were, but now you are found. Praise God for His power, for His strength, and for His grace. In the name of the Lord, you have been found.